Kate Townsend Live. I'm
Love
Kate Townsend.
Hope Radio.
And hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. I'm Kate Townsend. Welcome to Kate Townsend Live. We are here in our studio, and Wayne Gilman has joined us all the way from New York, all the way from where are you from?
I'm from everywhere. I'm from the Bronx sometimes, I'm from Brooklyn, and I'm mostly from New Rochelle.
You're mostly from New Rochelle.
Yeah, but it's good to come out here to smell the rarefied air of New Jersey.
No, I thank you. You maybe weren't saying that at some particular point.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I remember when all this used to be farmland.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you all have progressed.
Yeah.
You have malls all over the place, and I get distracted.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's good to see you, Kate. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we've been talking by way of the phone and by way of the phone that we're using on for the show and whatnot,
and you have you have a beautiful office.
Thank you very much.
You know,
with books and
I like the color scheme, and you're into Apple. I'm still behind with my PC.
No, I don't want to mislead you. I'm not into Apple.
Oh.
Eric, who is on the way here, my son, of course, is into Apple.
Okay.
And every other kind of thing. I know what I mean.
Right. But it seems to be a media person, the medium. So.
And if we get stuck, then Gina calls in from Bermuda.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to Gina.
Right.
As a matter of fact, my granddaughter Brianna may be.
Wow. It's a whole family. I feel left out sometimes, but I'm glad I can call an adopted member of the family.
Well, we should say, Wayne, that you let people know that, of course, you've been the news director. At LIBBR.
Yeah.
For how many years? Nine?
It seems like a long time ago now.
Yeah.
I was there a total of 34 years, 15 of which I led the department, you know. And it's a shame to a certain extent not to get caught up in that. But, you know, we were really at the cutting edge of shaping a completely different
format. That's right.
That has now become the standard in a lot of places, you know, back then. So I think even though we're no longer a part of what goes on there, we still have historic value. I mean, we are part of the intellectual property in which they were built.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm proud to sit next to you as I did all those many years ago. And you haven't aged one bit yet.
Well, thank you.
I noticed that. And I get gray every time you see me.
But listen, what about Baltimore? You know, he's a and he's here and he's going to be coming in. But, you know, Baltimore, I can't stand it.
I am just so livid about what goes on in this country.
Yeah.
I've talked to a number of friends, good friend of mine in Minnesota who I grew up with, in New York years ago. Every day we're constantly monitoring what's going on with the police departments in many municipalities.
Yeah.
And what's happening with people of color. I mean, it's a shame. And for some reason, I don't want to think it's more public now because Barack Obama is president, but you can't help but feel that, you know, there just seems to be more incidents than even what we covered, you know, back in the day.
But, you know, I think because of social media,
mm-hmm.
you know, this stuff goes
like
wildfire. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I can remember, you know, these different states having trouble a long time ago, but, you know, since we were so far apart from each other, if we didn't have social media, you know, sometimes we didn't get that message until late, you know, but sometimes we wouldn't get it at all.
At all.
Now,
that's right.
You come in, you press the button, well, people wouldn't know how to work this new social media, press the button, and we have it right at our fingertips.
I think it's good to a certain extent that we have that advantage because, I mean, for a long time, we used to be in a vacuum and depend on other people, their accounts as to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we ever get to a point where all the police in the entire country start using the cameras that a lot of people are recommending. I know the mayor of New York and Hillary Clinton today, she was at Columbia University.
I didn't hear it, but
I heard about it.
Let me tell you, she's going to be president.
She has got
to be president.
Right.
Because when you hear her speech,
mm-hmm.
I am telling you, she covered everything. She started talking about the situation in Baltimore.
Right.
And then going from one place to the other, talking about the different, you know, police departments that seem to have, that has long histories with racism.
Right, right.
And now that this young man, Freddie Gray, he died, we still don't have the report on how the man was killed in that damn van.
Well, I mean, the thing is
they
that
took it back.
Yeah, it just seems like there's been one follow-up after another with regard to the account. But the bottom line is, you know, he passed on the way to the hospital, as far as I can see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what they're saying.
And it's just unfortunate that we're going through this kind of epidemic in this country. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're faced with these set of circumstances. And I'm at a point now where I have no idea what it would take to bring a certain level of civility back to our society. You know, because it's like everybody's just acting like as if they're their own cop,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they espouse their own beliefs. And, they act a certain way because they feel that they have a right to do it.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part because mm-hmm. of the fact that, you know, when it started happening from one city to the other, we're talking about Eric Garner, we were talking about who else came after Eric Garner?
Ferguson,
and then there was someplace else, and there was now Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that Baltimore, you know, has been having trouble for years.
Exactly.
What we just, what we haven't dealt with, though, is the deep-seated racism among certain members of the police department,
mm-hmm.
all right? So now you have New York.
Right.
All right, so we can't leave out New York because the fact that, you know, there is racism on the police department there.
Right.
Baltimore, bad news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many different states have this. And because of, you know, the police living, because of the police actually killing people,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the guy who was running from them, what was his name, down in... and the guy who shot him in the back, and then the other man who was supposed to be a cop, who now we're finding out
was not really a cop.
Yeah,
now
that's what they're
doing. Same incident,
And they've been getting away with this for a long period of time, but I think now that these kids, you know, really know what's happening, and you hear about this stuff, and you know the incarceration rates for black men is astronomical,
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, Hillary Clinton touched on that today.
Right, right. Well, as I said, a week ago, there's this New York Times article which was thoroughly investigated all of the with respect to the issue of racism and the discrimination of black in this country. You know, it starts out in New York, and it's all the major centers in the country. And we talked about how we were moving our money, and a lot of it had to do with the lack of employment, the lack of cases. Healthcare is an issue. I mean, you can just go on the line to all the issues that we face as a society, and we're facing, the black men are facing the brunt of it. And
big business.
It's big business in one sense, but it's tragic in another.
Sure.
You know, because the thing is that we should be about procreating at this point,
mm-hmm.
you know? We would like to see another generation and hopefully another successful generation because, you know, we are the products of the whole civil rights era and what, you know, my dad went through Jim Crow when he first came to this country.
Yeah.
I saw Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy and all that, you know, at the height of the civil rights movement as a young kid. And, you know, we've seen the progress to a certain extent what has come out of that. But in many instances, we've also gone back a thousand feet, you know, in our progress because there is no follow-up or you know, the blatant racism that existed that still exists in a subtle way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more, even more socioeconomic than it is even something of color because, you know, even white folks, progressive white folks have fallen victim to the problem.
Yeah, but not to the extent of the arrest and incarceration of white
people. No question.
And that is a huge, huge problem. You know, I've been doing some research on it, reading up a lot on it. And, you know, that is a machine. That is, you know, the money coming from incarceration rates, you know, really was, you know, fueling a lot of the businesses mm-hmm. where these businesses are.
Mm-hmm.
It's big business.
Yeah.
And people are actually investing in this business of jailing people.
Right.
And who are the majority of the people that they jail?
Us. That's
especially black men.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is incredible. We can't even see it's Zach. Like, and
you
I don't
guys
know.
You know, I saw your son walk in here a moment ago.
Yeah.
And I, you know, he's accustomed to doing this. I mean, it's my first time.
You can hear me.
Figured, you know, he would know. But if he would welcome me, I want to welcome him.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
We're talking over someone who is on there. No, I guess it's someone who's on the line or something.
Yeah. We hear him, but it's almost like he's in delay.
Yeah, there's somebody on there.
Okay,
you know.
You can hear me, right?
Yeah. Okay, I hear you now.
Okay,
yeah, for a second I thought it was a 7-second delay or something.
Yeah.
Right. So, no, this
we're
is sorry to join the discussion later.
Yeah.
Here's what you know, I know we're talking about Baltimore and stuff like this, and you know, as we speak, who knows what's going on? I haven't kept up to the news to the minute. But here's the thing for me: everybody wants to get angry at the people who are angry for being angry.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing is such a scam because it's nothing but a cycle. It's cyclical. When something like this happens, people get to the boiling point. Sometimes we get to the boiling to the rioting point, then everybody wants to get mad for the people that have gotten violent. Everybody wants to get mad at the people who got violent for getting mad and forgetting about the reason they got mad in the first place. And it just happens again. People get discredited or reprimanded for being mad, and we lose the issue of why they're mad in the first place. This happened with Trayvon. Well, it didn't necessarily happen to Trayvon with riots, but it happened just a few months ago at Ferguson. It was getting ready to happen, or was potential for happen with Eric Gardner, with the brother out there in San Francisco. So this is cyclical. It happens over and over and over again. And they want to get mad at the people who are mad for being mad instead of saying, well, what is the reason that you're mad? It's the consistent and the persistent and the insistent year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation oppression of a people. That's why people are mad. So instead of getting mad at the people who are mad for being mad, get mad at the reason that they're mad at. Get that culprit. This is what trips me out about the media, about everything. We want to talk about why they're mad, get mad at the people who are doing violence. There's a reason because they're doing violence, because a crime is being committed. They're talking about the violence and the crime of the violence that they're committing. What about the crime that was initially committed by the severing of this guy's spine, which caused his death?
Yeah.
What about
exactly.
Those people? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because what happens is they want to talk about the racist. They want to talk about that elusive, that mystical feeling of racism, that feeling that nobody can get their hands on. Because somehow it's intrinsic, it's deep embedded in the structure, in the infrastructure of America. So what happens then is that we can never get to the culprit because it's that elusive thing. But here's the thing, that's how they fool us. Because the cops come in and, you know, obviously if you're a police officer, you want to have some out. Because if you get in a situation where you do have to shoot somebody and God forbid you kill, you want to not be totally responsible for that if all of your actions have been just, true, and right. In that, it's inherent for those who would abuse their power, abuse this system, for them to kill people and then cross the line becoming criminals, not people who are there to protect and serve the public and keep the law in order. They become criminals then. They have broken the law. So the criminal, the original criminal, is the one that decided to drive so hard that this brother's spine got severed. Because you can prosecute a behavior. People could think whatever they want to think. They could feel however they want to feel. You can't legislate that. If somebody doesn't want to be around people, a certain group of people, that's on them. You can't make them feel that way, and I understand that. But when they start acting on a behavior, when they start acting out, to act out their negative feelings towards people, that's what you can prosecute. So then you need to go after those cops who said the last time we saw this guy getting in his van and y'all put him in there on video, he was okay. His spine was not severed. But somehow, in between leaving that point and the ride to the police station, suddenly his spine got severed 45 or 50 minutes or an hour later. So you six individuals that were taking care of him during that hour period, y'all better get your story together and decide which one of y'all done committed that crime. Because one of you committed a crime because this prisoner, you're supposed to make sure that they arrive safely. So somebody committed a crime here. I don't care who it is. One of y'all better together and stand up.
What
see, we fall into this thing about, we fall into this thing about wanting to get mad at the protesters, wanting to get mad at the people who do violence. You know what? The only time you get attention is when everybody is inconvenienced, not just one segment of the population. So black people have been inconvenienced for generations, but everybody else can just keep on going about their business as long as they ain't inconvenienced too. But what happens now? You start getting attention when you inconvenience people trying to go to the baseball game. We want to go and see the baseball game. Later for his brother being killed, we want to go see the baseball game. A dude in Oklahoma can shoot a black man and get to go on vacation.
I'm trying to point salient, and I really think what you're saying is that the media has also played a role, you know, in stirring up the pot and just causing the discord that goes on in Baltimore and other places like Baltimore.
What I'm saying is we live in a society, there's a system.
I was so glad to
there's
hear.
There's a system that they have. That's what I'm saying.
It was really a stupid question that this reporter, in my opinion, asked the manager of the Baltimore Orioles, Buck Showalter, former manager of the New York Yankees. What do you say to those blacks who are rioting in Baltimore? You know, how do you solve the problem? This is, I'm assuming, a white reporter asking Buck Showalter this question.
Mm-hmm.
So Showalter comes back and says, well, I've never been black. I wouldn't know what to say. You know, I'm just saying, it's that kind of stupidity, in my opinion, that you know, you have to listen to. And I'm just saying, is this coverage? It's ridiculous. And I don't blame the Oriole captain for coming off the way he did, you know, because, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, they want to say this is a history-making event. No one showed up to see or view this game, but a game was played, you know.
You know what?
I agree with you with the aspect of inconveniencing, having protests that basically resonates and hits a responsive chord within people. But at the same time, you know, I just sometimes, and I could be on the fence here with this, I just don't, I understand the violence, but sometimes when you're destroying stores in your own community, I mean, people that, you know, of color.
And it's not right that they were destroyed.
But
the anger is so intense.
It's gotten to that point.
That, you know, you can feel it. I can feel it because I'm angry.
Yeah.
You know, and why? And why? What happened? Well, the thing that happened that they almost wanted to get away with mentioning was that this young man was killed by the police
department. Of course.
What happened in that killing machine, in that killing van, you know, that no one can, you know, get any information from it on Friday? What do you mean Friday?
I know Eric pointed out salient, you know, it was a very salient description as to what goes on. It takes a lot to break somebody's spine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just to break that's fine. So you know that he had been going through all sorts of, you know, abuse in that van.
That was another murder.
It was
by police.
That's all it is.
Okay.
Call it what it is.
That's exactly what it was.
And the thing is that
Eric Garner was another one. Michael Brown was another one.
You know, I find it unfathomable also that the White House, just down the road a few miles, did we lose something
here? No, I was
Well, I hope I didn't touch it. Okay. Well, the thing is, it's just that why did it take the president, you know, a day to actually react to what was the major news story of the entire
thing? Listen, man. I don't find fault with black president not doing nothing.
Your governor here in this state decided to send troops to Baltimore to quell some of the disturbances. It became a political thing, and then all of a sudden, Obama comes out. You know, after a Republican an unannounced Republican candidate is sending.
But you see, Wayne, I don't blame Obama. He's been having. I don't blame him at all for this. You know,
I'm not accusing him, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
why did it
take so long?
Yeah, that's my.
I think that because of the fact that he was trying to find out what happened. And he wanted to be very careful. I can't imagine he would not be angry because of this. And he's probably angry But he's the first black president, so he's got to be very careful. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not, you know, put this on him.
No, it's just the timing.
Yeah,
it's just the timing of it, and I just had a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he was right to respond, and I know he's probably frustrated. You know, this is the end of his second term,
uh-huh.
and he's gone through so much nonsense. Even Loretta Lynch, that process having taken so long, you know, it's despicable. But
I like to think that he's going to be coming out with some statement later on that's a little more, you know, inclusive and a little more thought out because we need something done about these different police departments around the country.
Right.
There's no doubt about it because it's happening too much and too many times. At different places,
Hello.
You know, and when it first started, I think it was not when it first started, but the popular one in this area, when I say popular, you know, more notoriety in the press, was Eric Garner. And then we actually saw what was going on, and we saw them on his head and their knees on his head, and the guy was, you know, but, and then it sort of escalated from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's going to be more if he does it in some kind of way. Put a stop to it.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be more demonstrations if not.
No question about
that. Now people are being relatively calm. Now, when I say calm, they're sort of calming things down. And here's it. Now, that doesn't help with this poor kid who has died.
Right.
Who killed black people.
Right.
And we should never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to say about it, but it's dangerous. And I maintain that there's some people, I'm not saying all, in the police departments in the United States of America that should never be in the police department.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
Not at all.
Well, you know, the thing is there should be some program of behavior modification, you know, at least trying to, you know, vet out those folks that they could already see who can be a problem as they pursue a career in the department. And it's not just something that's, you know, typical of people who are white. You know, there are people of color who signed up for the police department, and they've adopted this culture of wanting to abuse,
you know? Culture, right.
Yeah, and the thing is that there just needs to be something, some process that can be done on the national level that will basically ferret out the ones that are bad or need to undergo more prodding as opposed to the ones that are, you know, considered worthy of carrying the arms and having a shield.
And, you know, I would imagine that the black cops in some areas probably fear for the loss of their jobs if they belong with something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that very strongly. As a matter of fact, I remember, who is this cop in Ozzie Thompson?
Right. You know,
Ozzie, he would get... Come on, when I had police report on WLI,
he got a
whole lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, yes, people know about it, but they try to do something about it, and sometimes they're bluffed. But, like with the black police persons over there in New York, it was the Guardian.
Right.
Remember, they came into, you know, LIV to do this segment that I had developed called Police Report, and they were answering questions, you know, from the community.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the community would, you know, something would happen, and Lord knows there were a whole lot of things we could probably,
once we go over them,
including Amadou Diallo, I'll never forget that.
Abner Louima.
But Amadou shot 41 times.
41 times.
Young kid opening his door anyway.
Yeah.
It was so depressing when these things happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really going around the country. And I get tongue-tied because I get so angry about it.
Yeah, well, I can understand because the thing is, you figured we've lived through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, in the years that we worked and reported on incidents.
And
like
see, that's the thing that really, really stands out. Oh, being on the radio and having people call in. Especially with that segment and having the cops there, that was very effective. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was just too much to even think about.
Right.
You know, because if I went through the various things that we were all going through, you know, dissolving the police department.
Yeah.
You know, it's criminal.
It is criminal.
We're doing.
Yeah. And they've gotten away with it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I know back then there was a time when we would have offices. Some of them of color would come on and talk about how they never used their weapons.
Yeah.
disability.
And didn't have to.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I just kind of understand why we have this gun culture about us. And it's not just the cops alone. I mean, it's just people in general. I mean, we're in a generation where it's so accessible for even young folks to go out and get an arm, you know, get arms, that it's just unfortunate that we have to go through this. But I think in some instances, you know, when I see the lawlessness that goes on here, sometimes I even think twice about caring, you know. I mean, I don't want to, but, I mean, the deal is, there are times when I'm not safe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, God forbid. I mean, after I leave here, I have a great distance to travel. Anything can I think about it. I should have something in the car other than my club.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Get your running shoes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's really criminal what has gone on and based on color.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most, it's just it's a very hard thing to talk about. I remember my father's family, we were all from Virginia.
Right.
And hillbillies. And everybody had a gun.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, well, they had the shotguns at the side of the door. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I remember my grandfather saying something about, I don't know, something happened that with one of my uncles.
Right.
And the police were coming for them, and he actually said sheriff at that time, and I remember this because I was little. He said sheriff. What's a sheriff? You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, and granddaddy was saying that, yeah, well, he's because they may come in here walking, but they won't be walking when they come out. And that stuck with me. And I was,
right. And you would think back then.
I was thinking that my granddaddy can't do anything.
right. Yeah.
So, but, you know, and those things go back, and then you find out that it's gone because of a color.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so idiotic,
mm-hmm.
you know, because then it has gotten a little better.
Right.
But not much. But I'll tell you one thing. Another thing that what has happened was that didn't your gangs get together?
Oh, and yeah.
The Crips and the Bloods?
I think so. Yeah.
Now, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To anesthetize what's going on in the
world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just says a lot right there. Yeah. And the deal is, here young people, and I'm not endorsing what they do on a regular basis, but if they could see the impact of what has gone on with the protests and the violence,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, common sense would tell you that this is the way in which to go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, something has to be done.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I have to announce this, Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be talking to Larry Hazard.
Right.
Larry Hazard is a boxing commissioner in the state of New Jersey, and he's, and you know, I like boxing.
Right. I don't know. I didn't know that about
boxing.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Sure. Pacquiao and who is it?
Mayweather.
Yeah. Fighting this weekend, I think.
Right.
And it's on pay-per-view.
So you'll be here with your popcorn and...
No, I can't afford those prices.
Oh, pay-per-view?
Yeah, pay-per-view.
Hey, you live in large.
Not at all. But anyway, really, it's going to be very exciting.
Mm,
you know,
yeah,
I love it because of the fact that... you know, I just like boxing. I don't know why, but...
Well, you know, the thing is, it's an interesting sport. I'm not saying that...
I don't like it when they bleed.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine boxing where, you know, even Muhammad Ali took a few hits back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, but...
it's some funny
stuff. I don't know.
But anyway, Larry Hazard is coming on.
Right.
And as a matter of fact... when he was on before,
mm-hmm.
and he was just reappointed recently, you know, as boxing commissioner.
Right.
And by Chris Christie, so
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, a good thing that the governor did at the
time.
But he swears by Muhammad Ali, and we can, you know, ask him some questions because he goes back so long ago with
mm-hmm.
so many people,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he's been a fighter for.
So
he's a referee.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so he appreciated that.
So he's absolutely fascinating to talk to.
Right.
So, and then there's Pacquiao and...
Yeah, and then...
And I'm fascinated with that because I can't imagine the amount of money going into this.
I'm amazed at how much, you know, it's been talked about in the last few months. You know, I mean, every time I turn the tube on, there's some reference to the impending bout. I actually thought it had passed, but it's this weekend, you know.
Yeah,
but,
it's Saturday, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound like I'm, you know, publicizing that. I'm not being paid.
Well, yeah. Maybe we could ask for our share after.
but Larry is a friend.
Right.
And, you know, I've known him for a long period of time, you know, so... we'll see what happens with it. Who are you betting on, by the way?
Well, you know, at this point, I don't know. I mean, I haven't followed either one. I know there's been a lot of talk about Mayweather.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get the sense that Mayweather had been avoiding Pacquiao.
Mm.
For some reason, if you listen to the sports talk station.
Yeah, see, I don't listen to those stations.
Oh, okay.
I really don't.
Well, unfortunately, it's influenced my thinking.
It's on television every now and then. I'll watch somebody talk about it.
Yeah. But it seems like, you know, the deal is that Mayweather had been avoiding a number of bouts just to have this happen.
Yeah.
Because they knew it would be a big payday, regardless of who was involved, you know.
You know, that's an interesting sport. And I think a lot of, young boys who... you know, enter into that sport, you know, just for self-protection. I think that's a good thing.
Well, you know, the thing is, I see it with women now.
Instead of all this energy that they have, pent-up energy, doing something that's illegal.
Yeah.
Something like that, if they're involved with more sports. But then again, you have to think of the schools. If the schools have certain things for them, even their neighbors, sometimes they don't have the different activities for young kids and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, you may have them in a lot of the white areas, but a lot of times you just don't have it, you know, in the areas that are, you know,
right.
Latino or Caribbean.
And it's unfortunate because the thing is, these are the neighborhoods that really are starving for an alternative.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though some people have taken the initiative to start little programs, it's not the same way if somebody is funding something that has a structure to it and has a means to an end, a follow-up. And 'cause I think that's what's missing with a lot of these kids. That's why they form these gangs and get into trouble.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to do after school.
But I really do like it when I heard of a lot of with this problem, you know, in Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah.
With a lot of the different organizations, the boys' clubs, the this club, and getting together, you know, to come together and trying to figure out different things to do with the kids, you know, and the kids are going to be kids.
Right,
I love it. Where when I saw his mother getting her son.
Oh yeah.
Kudos to her, boy. I'm telling you, she was not.
They're saying a lot, you know, and
he was kicking himself.
Right. And I mean, the deal is that.
And he had on the hood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes, and I'm not saying that I espouse that kind of beating.
I think.
Well, I mean, the deal
is. He's out there with a foot on the
head. Yeah, exactly.
And he's going to be doing throwing rocks at people who have guns?
Right.
No.
But, you know, I'm amazed at how the media has picked up on her.
Yeah.
And, you know, the deal is that they've made her an overnight star.
Sure.
You know, this is her 15 minutes of fame. And all right, I can tell that. Her background was of such, you know, that at one time somebody needed to guide her in the right direction. And she clearly didn't want any of her kids, because I think she has a half dozen kids at home.
Mm.
He was just one of them.
Mm.
And the deal is that she's attempting to make a change in a favorable direction.
Was an example of a mother protecting her daughter, whoever, you know.
I agree with it, but I'm just fascinated how the media, you know, will turn around and look at that one instance.
Mm.
It's almost as if there aren't other women of color in the community who don't do that sort of thing, you know.
But would do it at home, and they should.
Exactly.
But the thing that tickled me about it was he actually had on a hood and was pulled up above his nose
to avoid being
and that seen. Mother she recognized
Yeah, that was funny.
Let that be a lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
You know your own child. They can put anything.
Yeah, you know.
And when she stopped him, it was I was really, you know, really very funny. He deserved that.
Right, right. Well, it happens. Yeah. I know I've had some.
And I'm not saying
myself. But I mean, the deal is today you got to be careful because the kids have the you know the authority to call the police if they feel they've been abused.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that's the only
they
thing
call
about
after they just
after been abused. Because I remember I used to get. My mother's famous line was, wait till your father come home, just like that, you know. And it was, he would sit there, and I would wait, you know. He went to the post office, and midnight would come, he'd wait, and I expletive deleted up, get downstairs, I'm going to beat you again, because you did such and such.
We need to see if Larry is...
Hoping that...
and I need Eric to let us know how to... You know, this is off here. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
Hopefully Eric or Lisa could have...
I don't see anything up here.
You know, but, you know, I think that in the long run, you know, we're slowly going to make progress. I don't know what it's going to take to improve the situation, but hopefully we'll be in a better place, hopefully, a year from now, even as more of this becomes exposed, hopefully things will turn around and get better.
Yeah, we're waiting to see if Larry Hazard is going to be calling in. He's calling in soon. And,
right.
How much time is that?
We've eaten up that much.
Wow. So,
you know.
I don't know if Larry forgot or what. You know.
Maybe there's a situation... So we could probably open up the phone lines, you know, if somebody wants to call.
Yeah, if anybody wants to call in, then we can do that.
Yeah, and but the number would be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this
the 908 number, yeah. Maybe Eric could probably assist us with this again.
Yeah.
Is Eric nearby?
Yeah, he's nearby.
Yeah, somebody's been holding about 5 minutes now. So, right.
Yeah.
But,
No dead air.
Yeah, no, I keep forgetting about that. I'm just fascinated by what goes on here.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Back. Yeah. This is on the job training for me. Yeah, thank you.
Larry Hazard. Is that Larry? So, Larry Hazard, are you there?
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Larry?
Hello.
Well, you're on the air.
Well, I hear you.
Hello.
It's
someone who's calling us from the 908 area code, which
can
I believe is Central
Jersey.
Can you hear
me? I can hear you.
Is that
hello?
Where it's at? It's somewhere in Jersey? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
Somewhere in Jersey, someone is trying to reach the Kay Thompson live show and on Blog Talk Radio this evening. And they're calling
hello?
From the 908 area code.
Yes.
And we're trying to see if we can get that person to respond. Or
hello?
Talk to us. I could tell they had been holding for a while.
Yeah.
You know.
You're on the air. Hello.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
We're not doing something
maybe,
right. I don't know. What,
can you hear me?
But just the same, I'm assuming that, that person will call us back. Okay, we've lost the caller. Okay. I'm seeing another number. Oh, I see it's been dropped. All right. Forgive me, but this is on the job training for me too. You know,
yeah,
we're going
to have to ask that caller back.
Right.
I don't have that.
But I'm assuming that at some point we will hear from the commissioner. And I'm just trying to think of anything else that you know that we could talk. I know there was supposed to be a demonstration tonight in New York. I was hoping to avoid some of that.
Yeah.
Traffic,
you know,
support of what was going on in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other place was, let me see, what was the one that happened before that? Was that in Ferguson or what?
No.
Was that New York?
There was the incident in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, with the pseudo cop who shot the. Oh no! Wait, there was one. There was one. As a matter of fact. I see a familiar number on the phone line now. Uh-huh. Yeah, the 612 area code. If it is who I think it is, good evening. You're on the air, Kay Thompson Live. Is this Dr. Kirby?
This is Dr. Chervy, Dr. G.
I recognize the number. I know you're there. I'm having a hard time trying to hear you.
Dr. Kirby?
Yeah. Did we lose him? Okay.
Well,
maybe he can call us back. Yeah. How do I, how do we? I don't know how to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken, all right. Dr. Kirby, are you there?
I'm here.
You're on the air live. I recognize your number. 612 area code. That's Minnesota.
And 908.
And 908 is back with us again.
Okay. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Larry Hanson, is that you?
Yes,
you know
it is.
Maybe it's my phone.
Yeah, maybe.
Perhaps.
Is your phone on?
Hello.
Yeah, it's on, but the speaker may be shot. You know, I thought you were, we were hearing.
Hello.
By the way, 612, join the discussion on the K-Thompson Live show. All right, since
hello?
You're not joining. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Right.
Hello?
Is it Larry?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Mr. Hazard, welcome.
Can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we're having problems with my phone. That's the problem.
Yeah, I can hear you. I called twice already.
Right. Okay. So we apologize. It's our equipment, Mr. Hazard. Mine. I'll go to Verizon tomorrow morning and trade this thing in.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can hear you. Listen, how are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Yes. Can you speak a little louder?
Yes. I said I'm fine. And yourself?
You're shot.
Okay, well, Larry, why don't you, Mr. Hazard, how are you doing with Eric Payne? You know, the fight is coming up this weekend. What do you think about it? What's your predictions?
Well, it's going to be pretty hard. Can you hear me, first off?
Yeah, we hear you now.
You can hear me?
Right. What is your prediction for this weekend?
Well, I think that Floyd should win the fight, but Floyd is a defensive fighter, and he certainly has to be very, very careful not to get into his defensive comfort zone, because judges really don't give a lot of credit for defense. So, you know, he's going to have to let his offense speak a lot for him if he's going to win this fight. He certainly has the ability to win. I think that most of people that know anything about the sport or just the general boxing public, based upon his record, based upon what they've seen in his previous fights, would pick Floyd to win. So I would pick Floyd to win, but, you know, there's always that caveat there. If he's not a bit more offensive than he has been in many of his other fights, then you might see a big disappointment, and Floyd could very easily lose the fight by a close decision.
You know, Mr. Hazard, if I might, I get the sense that, you know, the media, especially the New York sports stations, have been promoting Pacquiao as actually being the victor in this. It's almost as if Mayweather was hesitant to even challenge this guy. Am I reading this properly, or is it just, you know, the media, period?
Well, no, you may be reading it. You know, I think that's more, they may be wishful thinking, because I'm sure there are a lot of people in the media, and there are a lot of fans in general who would really like to see Floyd lose. And I think that's mainly because of, you know, what they perceive of his lifestyle, and for reasons other than just plain, athletic expertise. You know, it gets a little bit more into a personal feeling towards Floyd. As you know, Floyd has not been the greatest role model, and so people have a tendency to then begin to, you know, think negatively of you, even if you're an athlete, for reasons other than how you perform in the athletic arena. So I think a lot of that, a lot of what you feel or what you hear is because of his lifestyle. But just based on his skills and his talents, I don't see how Pacquiao, you know, should win this fight. But I don't think you're reading it wrong. You know, I think you're reading it very well.
Okay, because I just sense a bias, and I don't think it's right. It's bad enough. You know, we went through the whole Ray Lewis situation, and I don't think he's going to be playing football next season. Maybe I'm lost, but, you know, I just don't sense that anyone else is going to pick him up after what happened. Anytime soon.
You're talking about Ray Lewis.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, a lot of the social issues begin to creep into situation a lot of times. So, you know, you're reading it. I think you're reading it right.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have anything to talk about, you know, about the game itself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that I just like to watch. and I want Mayweather to win. You know,
yeah.
Because I think he's amusing, and I think he's a good fighter. And then again, something about Pacquiao. You know, I want him to win also. So.
Well, I mean, it looks like
it. I just like the art.
Right.
It's exciting, and I'm not looking at it to analyze it because I don't know that much about it. All I know is for some odd reason, I like boxing.
Well,
Yeah.
Well, you know what happens. That's one of the unique things about boxing. You know, boxing is so much a part of our culture that it kind of spills over sometimes into that's what makes it so attractive also and universal, that almost every ethnic group, every race can identify with boxing because there have always been great champions from almost every ethnic group. As a matter of fact, I've always said that just about every ethnic group that has come to this country that have participated in sports has used the sport of boxing to assimilate into the American way of life. And so we have a tendency, and rightfully so, when we begin to become fans of not just boxing, but almost any sport, but boxing in particular, we sometimes begin to line up, especially in these hotly contested fights. We line up in accordance with who looks like us, you know, and that's the person to who we also want to win in many instances, even when we don't know much about the sport. So we, you know,
right.
Mayweather. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so we cheer for the one who looks like us, and that's okay. That's quite all right because that's just a human.
I think boxing has lost a little bit of its luster. I mean, I go back to the days of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, and it seems like no one has sold the sport the way Muhammad has. And, of course, there was Mike Tyson in that period. And I'm not saying that there weren't other good boxers since then, but, you know, I remember, as you just said, people getting dressed. I could see Clyde Frazier walking into the Garden in his finery. I mean, here's a basketball star for the Knicks, dressed to the hilt with his fedora hat and everything else he had on just to honor the presence of Muhammad Ali. I don't see that going on today.
Well, boxing has lost a lot of its luster, and you're correct that boxing has lost
Larry?
A lot.
We did.
We lost Larry.
Can
you hear me?
No, I see him there, but regrettably, it could be my equipment tonight.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
And I would have to take my equipment back from where I purchased it because I'm thoroughly disgusted with my bill to begin with, and then. You know,
can you hear me?
I don't know anything about these wireless, but Okay.
Can you hear me?
No, but I'm not even hearing him. That's the problem. That's the.
I can hear him.
Okay, you can? Okay. I understand, Mr. Hazard, you can't comment on what we just talked about with respect to people having this emotional desire to go out to a fight and get dressed up and you take your date and, you know, have a great time at the ring and then you go home and have another fight.
I knew you were going to say that. I said, what?
Yeah, well, I used to do that with my ex, so anyway.
Can you hear me?
I'm not married. Go on.
Tell me you can hear everything.
Can
you respond?
Okay, can you respond, Mr. Hazard?
Can you hear me?
Larry,
yes. Yes.
Tell him yes. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
You can be heard.
You can be heard.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you can be heard.
Okay, did you want me to respond to what you asked me?
Yes. Tell him yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that you're correct in that boxing has lost a lot of its luster simply because the fighters today, this particular generation, are certainly, in my opinion, not of the same caliber that you're used to and most fans are used to seeing from the Ali and the Joe Frazier and some of the fighters that you mentioned. And that's why, you know, boxing has lost a lot of its luster. The paradigm of the sport has shifted and changed quite a bit. Many of the characters that you were used to seeing, like Don King and some of the others, are no longer around, are no longer as active in the sport as they once were. So you're quite correct in that, you know, that has had a dramatic impact on the sport. But I think of late, you know, there are a bunch of talented fighters that have come on the scene, and boxing is beginning to get some of that luster back again.
Well, that's very good to know, you know. At least there's hope for all those young people who are looking to get into the game, and young women now.
True.
Yeah, I noticed that. Go ahead.
Well, also, you know, this Pacquiao and Mayweather, you know, has people talking again. You know, people are debating in the barbershops. And I would imagine that a lot of the women are talking about it in the beauty parlors, the pool halls, the bars. I can't go anywhere without someone asking me, well, who's going to win the fight? And that's great. And if you notice, you can turn on the television now to free TV, NBC, CBS, Spike TV. Many of the cable channels you can find boxing. You know, I find myself rushing home now from different places because I don't want to miss the fight. You know, so it's kind of like a throwback to the old days. Boxing is becoming sort of a rejuvenated sport. And that's good for the sport because then greater numbers of younger people, especially young men, will want to get into the gyms and see what they have. And there's a lot of talent out here in the streets, you know, that many of these young men, when they see some of these fighters, these superstars, cultivates and it stimulates an interest in some of them to want to learn the sport. So it's good for the sport overall, sort of bring back some of the old days.
Do you have a lot of young men or young boys who are really interested in and who are involved, like in your school, in your gym?
Well, I don't particularly, you know, I'm the boxing commissioner. I don't really have any gym anymore.
Uh-huh.
I had a program in Newark, okay, at one point. And we came in one day and they had a sign on the door that, you know, they were closing it down, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, there are several gyms in Newark now. A lot of gyms are opening up, you know, around in the, you know, the area, Newark, East Orange, Jersey City, you know, so Patterson. So I can see a resurgence and a, you know, a greater a level of interest in the sport coming back again.
You know, Larry, I'm curious, why does Brooklyn get all the attention when it comes to gyms for some reason?
Well, I don't know if Brooklyn is getting all of the attention, but what's happening over in Brooklyn, you have that Barclays Center over there where a lot of the major fights are being held. That's where Brooklyn's main attention is coming from. But, you know, Brooklyn and other parts of New York have always had, you know, a lot of facilities where young men could go in and learn to box. But that's been the main focus of Brooklyn of late, is that Barclays Center, where many of the major fights are being held, along with Madison Square Garden. You know, we just had the heavyweight championship with Klitschko and Brian Jennings this past Saturday at Madison Square Garden. But the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for major boxing events of late.
Yeah, I tell you, I know Barclays, they're doing a lot to promote that spot, you know, not just with boxing, but, you know, the basketball players, and now the Islanders are going to be skating there, you know, with hockey and all that. But it just seems to be like a tradition. I keep hearing about Gleason's Gym, and I think it's Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or, you know, it just seems like there are a couple of gyms in Brooklyn that turned out a number of fighters of note, you know, long before Barclays, was built. And this is not to negate the prize fights that went on from the time of Joe Louis at the Garden, but, you know, I often wonder why Brooklyn gets all the attention.
Well, you're correct in that Gleason's Gym has become somewhat of a brand of gyms. Like in the old days, you know, there was another place called Stillman's that was closer to Manhattan. So, you know, that happens every decade. You know, there are gyms that are well known, as you know, in Miami. The Fifth Street Gym, where Muhammad Ali trained, was well known, you know, in Detroit, the Kronk Gym, and of course, at one time, right in the city of Newark, the Newark Dukas AC was one of the, you know, the strongholds in our city. So that has always been a part of boxing also. You know, several of the gyms became well known because a lot of the pop came out of these particular facilities.
Larry, what about Atlantic City?
You know, we had a terrific time with boxing in Atlantic City, especially during the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early part of 200 of this decade. As you know, I was the commissioner. I've been the commissioner for boxing in New Jersey all of those years. Then I left in 2007, and I just returned, last year with Governor Christie. And what has happened in New Jersey and in Atlantic City in particular is that, you know, a number of the casinos have closed in Atlantic City. The city itself is really going through a great deal of turbulence during these times. And it has affected the boxing programs and the boxing events that were once underwritten by a lot of the casinos in Atlantic City. And
I hate to cut you short, but we have to stick a pin on that till the next time because we're literally down to 45 seconds before we sign off. But I want to thank you for coming on board. I apologize for our technical problems, and I take responsibility for that because I'm cheap. But hopefully we'll have a better show the next time with better equipment. Kay Thompson, it's an honor and a pleasure to sit next to you every week.
Kay Thompson Live, everyone. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
And you join us again next week, Wednesday, 8 to 9, on blogtalkradio.com, /.
Kay
Thompson Live, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good night.
BlackTalkRadio.com/KBlackLive.
I'm sorry.
All right, now it's time for a little fun. What a villain, man! Fire!